Right. Everybody's unique, technically.
Plus the newer stuff and TV doing that faster.
They're coming out. Oh, I don't know what I'm talking about.
They got to remake a
The Fury Roads? I don't know if that's what it's called.
Oh, Mad Max?
Mad Max, is that, yeah. What
is that what I'm thinking of?
Might be.
It's really dystopian.
Is it like...
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
Post-apocalypse.
Like Indians, like Savage, like...
Yeah,
look it up.
It's Mad Max. It's a remake of it.
This is Preston Patterson, creator and writer of New Generation Firstborn Suki, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
To another Comic Pop Rockin' in the Dirt. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Luis,
Logan,
and we are brought to you by Comic Pop Library. And we want to thank Zoe Brown. She gave us the album of Kate Tucker and the Sons of Sweden. What's the album's name? Do you have that there, April?
It's let me find it. I totes had it. It's the shape, the color, the feel.
The shape, the color, the feel. Okay. So we appreciate that, Zoe. We're going to be looking at their album. We just heard the opening drop was Blue Hotel, and April will take it away from here.
I will. Yeah, Kate Tucker and the Sons of Sweden. It's a four-piece group. It's Kate Tucker, Wes Chandler, Ethan Place, and Nick Danielson. And I'm not sure... what they do, it didn't tell me their specific role in the group. They just said, you know, they're musicians.
So on their bio page. But we got the bio page from the Musebox and off their website as well.
Yeah.
So we tried. Really, we tried.
We did. We tried really hard. And everything is so confusing. Oh, my God. I have a headache. And Nick Danielson is apparently, the way I understand it, forgive me if I'm wrong, is that they had, Kate Tucker had a... had an original and Sons of Sweden, and then she went off to a solo career. And then as she was moving from Seattle to Nashville through New York City, she met Wes and Ethan, and that's what
brought them in.
Brought the Sons of Sweden back. Okay. And then Nick Danielson, who came into the fold, was apparently an original member that had come back to put his... little stamp on it.
So they're actually from Sweden then. So that's how they got their...
Are they?
I don't know.
It didn't say they were.
Didn't say. Okay.
I don't know where they're from.
Which might have just sounded cool.
I don't know.
Again, we tried.
And it does. I like their name a lot.
It's entirely possible that her parents were born in Sweden.
Yeah, true. True, true.
Except for hers. She's not a Swedish.
Well, yeah. Is she from Canada? Did you mention that? Or?
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
No, she was born in Seattle.
Okay.
And now
for
she's...
for some reason, I was thinking Canada.
Nashville.
Oh, okay. Man, yeah. I'm just wrong all over the place tonight. Sorry about that.
But yeah, they say the group, specifically this album, is reminiscent of the Cockatoo Twins.
Don't know them.
The
Cardigans.
The Cardigans.
Do know the Cardigans, but... I don't know.
And early U2, which I thought was weird.
Wow, that's kind of out of left field. Now, I did get a feel on a couple of their songs that I wrote it down on number two, Give Up the Ghost, and Blue Hotel, the one we just listened to.
Mm-hmm.
Her voice kind of went into what Marina and the Diamonds kind of sounded like on some of her songs.
Yeah.
And that's what I kind of related her to on those two songs. But
well, I kind of
Cardigans. No, YouTube, I can't see.
The one group that I had any inkling that kind of reminded me, this group reminded me of, was Mumford and Sons. And not in any way the music, but just the way they situated the music to where they'd have the heavy instrumentals with the vocals, and then all of a sudden it'd drop and it'd just be vocals, and then more instrumental dropped. And I mean, it wasn't heavy at all. It doesn't sound anything like Mumford and Sons does, but just with the feel of the instruments taken back and forth, and gave me a feel of it.
Well, to me, she had probably a alto to a soprano. High alto soprano?
No, she's a soprano.
Is she a soprano?
Yeah.
Okay.
She doesn't sing low. And I don't mind that. And when I reviewed Blue Hotel by itself, I put in there, this is one of the few higher singing artists that I enjoy, because nothing against artists that sing a high sound. It's just that usually they don't put any support behind it, so it just sounds airy and really... like straining for it, like they have no breath support or anything. And in Blue Hotel, she has the strength to her voice, and you can definitely hear it. And that's how Marina is too when she goes into her.
And in most of her songs, it seems like she was really clear. She enunciated real well. I can understand them worse. A lot of times with the higher voices, the performers have to be aware of that
you
too.
You can't. And see, that's what I had troubles with. Listening throughout the rest of the album, because I already got a taste with Blue Hotel, and I was like, I really enjoy this. The feel is good. The beat's nice. I like the lyrics. The lyrics are Mumfordy too. Poetic. But, true. And then we started the first song, and I was like, whoa, this is like such a wispy, wimpy artist.
Way different, yeah.
I'm confused. Where, what? Like, so I wish she would have carried that support in her vocals through the whole album. And all the songs. That's what really disappointed me the most.
Right. And some of the songs have, you mentioned an airy feel. Some of that was intentional, not in her lyrics, but in the, like in one of the outros and one of them, it was more of a aria type deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And it kind of, in her high register, it kind of gave it an airy feel. Which one was that one? I'm trying to look real cool. Well, we're going to be listening to one, but we won't get to it. But Wide Open Plain. So at the end of that song, she kind of gave that airy feel like you were actually on a plane.
I don't like that.
Not a airplane, not but...
Yeah, like you're floating. It's not my deal. And another thing with that whole deal. On number 5... fifth track.
Okay.
She has this part in there that they put in that is full of yeah-yeahs. And I have nothing against an artist putting in a yeah here or yeah there, you know? Yeah. But this one went on for a while and drawn out. I'm like, this is just filler. Yeah, this is just because they couldn't think of anything. And we're like, crap, I like the rest of the song, but it's too short. Yeah, yeah, yeahs.
The big idea was that song. Pretty much. And I mentioned it was soft rock. I got a feel of soft rock with that song.
The only thing I got a very small amount of rock on was Blue Hotel, and even that to me isn't rock.
Yeah, I didn't hear that much rock.
I don't get rock at all from this group. I don't get pop from this group. I don't know what I get from them.
They're kind of in between to me. They are.
Yeah, I don't.
That's
just
how I see them.
I don't have a genre for them. I can't think of something where they fit.
You mentioned a simplistic song that she did. Was The State I'm In, where it was pretty much all acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And that was the ninth
song. Okay, ninth. Yeah, I put that. I put good acoustic. Yeah, I enjoyed that one. That's why I put Mumfordy, kind of somehow.
Mumfordy becomes an adjective.
That song is very Mumfordy.
The one I really liked, well, there's some I liked, yes, but the one I really liked the best, lyric-wise, not necessarily rhythm-wise, It'll have to grow on me, probably, but Island of the Misfits.
Oh, the last one?
The last one.
I put Almost a good title.
Almost.
Because the title... Yeah, the title is Island of a Misfit.
Oh, is that what it is? Island of a Misfit? Okay.
Or Island of the Misfit. Either way, I don't really like... I liked Island of the Misfits. Or I wanted it to be a plural... The misfits. Include us in your music.
True, but again, a lot of artists, most people, when if they like the song, start singing it, they emulate it that way and take it on themselves. So
I just like the plural because then it gives you a feeling like you're
part of
you have group. Something. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it makes you feel like you're part of something bigger.
That is true. Hangover was the very first one. I kind of liked that one. It had a kind of a neat little
I liked the catch. Chorus. Yeah. Part. I didn't like the verses or the beginning because once again it was too wispy for me when her voice didn't have enough support. I think my second favorite, what's number 7?
Best Friend's Love.
What's number 6?
Number 6 is Wide Open Plane.
Okay. We're not doing number 6 as the outro.
Okay. What are we doing?
Number 7.
Okay.
I thought number 6 was Best Friend's Love. That's why I told you number 6.
Okay.
That's the one I wanted. Okay, sorry, okay. Dad.
Back to the show now.
Anyways, my second favorite one was number 7, Best Friend's Love. And I really have mixed feelings about this because I like the instrumentals. I like the lyrics of it. I don't like the title or when they say Best Friend's Love in it.
Hmm.
I don't like the idea of Best Friend's Love.
It could lead into it, though.
It just doesn't sit well with me.
You don't want that crossing the line?
No, well, what she's saying in the story is, you know, I'll just go to my best friend's love. I'll just go hang out with my friends because that's all the love I can get. You know, I don't.
Okay.
There's nothing between me and
that's
you.
That's how you see it.
Yeah, that's how I got was like, oh, we're breaking up. I'll just go sit in a corner with my best friend then, and I'll have that type of love. And I don't know. I don't usually. The word to describe a best friend's relationship, I don't usually see the word love with it. I don't know. Maybe
depends on how
it's
big
weird.
The friendship is.
Yeah, because
you know it'd be as like familial love. You know,
I get
it's like you're part of the family.
I get a bond, but I don't get a love out of it because to me, love, you know, is either family or a relationship, like a girlfriend, a boyfriend, spouse.
So you're saying best friends can't. Love each other?
No, I feel like they can have a bond with each other, but they can't have... I don't know anymore.
No, that's fine. I understand.
I just never associated the word love with it. I associated the word bond and friendship and loyalty and all that, but not love.
Okay.
Love's not usually associated with it, but...
Yeah. I just,
true. I'll agree with you there.
Occasionally.
It didn't sit well with me. The title or the usage of it.
Well, this is one where I kind of would have to be in the mood to listen to, though.
Yeah.
The album.
Well, I think the whole album just sounded too much alike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was so...
Like, not many very changes, but like, yeah, of course the lyrics changed a little bit here and there, but...
Mm-hmm. But I must say, there is something cool about this album. The strings that were used in it. We're tracked at Juilliard
okay.
School of Music.
School
in New York.
That's cool that they were able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But this is one I'd have to be in the mood.
I should probably mention some stuff here. And I'm sorry, I'm not hitting it a lot because the way the info was sent and the bio that we printed off, they're both
kind of sketchy,
confusing, and I mean, in one of them. It contradicts itself.
Really?
Like at the beginning, it says the video's director for Blue Hotel is
such.
Miriam Bennett. And then later on, it says that the director is Tyler Evans. So I was like,
so who?
I was like, what? I don't know who
maybe
to say
both.
Here.
Yeah, typo maybe. Or yeah.
Yeah.
I was just so confused. But apparently this album it's a Kickstarter. Funded. Mm-hmm. So it got on Kickstarter and the fans
helped it out to get it made.
Made it possible for it to be made. Yeah. And it's actually it's a visual album. It's more than an album.
Okay.
I don't even know how to explain this. I
so
mean it's confusing
are,
explained
like,
here. It's,
are videos on the disc as well or
I'll just read off. The entire project consists of 10 music videos, 3 short films, a documentary, and a visual art exhibit.
Okay.
In the city?
That explains a little bit. That
does it?
Their website is a long address. It's Kate Tucker and the Sons of Sweden.com.
And I was like, why don't you just... Because the way they usually have their They usually have an initial to KT and or plus sign.
There you go.
SOS. And I'm like, make that your webpage.
Mm-hmm. Make it shorter for people.
Yeah. And that way, you know, people still know what it is. But
you could go there. They do have up in the left-hand corner a drop-down screen for links. You go to their store, and the album is
$24.99. Yeah, that's
a lot. 10 songs, that's kind of like, that sounds not...
I guess that's why
she makes sense having all this.
Yeah, with April saying all that, if that's included on there, okay, I can understand that.
Well, so here's another thing that contradicts, I must say. It's not in the same article that it contradicts, but in this article I have in my other one, this one says the exhibition, the visual art exhibit, is going to be launched in Nashville and move across the U.S. into Australia in 2015. So I was like, oh, that's good to mention. That's a year away. You know, let people know. But then in this other one, it says that happened already, and it's happening right now in 2014. So
it's going on until 2015,
I don't know anymore. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe go to their website, probably for the most recent news.
Yeah,
maybe
clear it up. I kind of skipped this part because I was like, I don't want to mess with this. It's such a mess. That trying to find stuff.
Tried anyway, by God.
Yes, we didn't give up. But yeah, Blue Hotel was definitely my favorite. And I think it's the only song for me that I actually heard any sort of bass in there. Any sort of heavy tone. everything else was too light for me.
I did mention I like the drums in Best Friend's Love, but it wasn't the bass or a heartbeat or anything like that. I did mention that on my notes, Island of the Misfit had a little bit more of a pop rock feel, so had an airy opening again, kind of like what I mentioned for the ending of Wide Open Plain, but then it kind of got into a little bit more of a pop rock feel, so.
Yeah. Well, the way I don't mind light music, but I don't like completely light music. I like having light aspects to a song, as long as it has something to carry it, something darker, something meat and potatoesy.
You get that so easily with the lyrics a lot of times.
Yeah, but see, way. You can't get that with her because she's a higher singer. So she is there. She's a big part of their light sound. And then when you add light acoustics and light drums, and it's just too light for me. I need, I mean, I don't want you to have the hard bass going like thump, thump. You know, just have something to ground it a little bit so it doesn't fly away.
Well, this is definitely one I said that I'd have to be in the mood for. A lot of the songs are, to me, felt slower than
a lot of so. Yeah, because there were some that I was like, this is a great slow song, but they're all slow songs.
And to me, you can disagree with me for libraries. If you're looking at purchasing this, large libraries, look at it. Middle to small, I would probably say you steer away from it unless you just have a budget that can handle it.
Yeah.
But so even the larger libraries, is because the price is going to be a hard fit.
Your indie scene will enjoy it.
True. If it was priced like a normal album for just the 10 songs, I would say, okay, the larger libraries can do
your
it.
Indie scene, your hipster scene will enjoy it.
Yeah, pricing it at $25 and having all the digital content, that's cool, but it's going to be one of those harder to sell in your library because most people, unless they're really into you, won't watch the
digital
content.
Maybe that's the genre. This is a hipster genre.
A hipster?
I mean, that's not. That's never really been a music genre, but it's who I envision listening to it. Okay. Is hipsters.
Hipsters. There you go.
I don't know if that's right genre. I don't know what to put them under. I've never had this problem before. I don't know what you are, Kate Tucker and the Sons of Sweden.
They're Sons of Sweden. They're Swedish.
Did I mention that, though? They have a great name for their group. I mean, it's long, which I usually say I hate, but I think it's quirky enough. Like Sons of Sweden, that just sounds cool. I think it's cool, quirky enough to where I like it.
Okay. Well, I think that'll probably about wrap it up for us on this time around. Like again, thank Zoe Brown of the Musebox for letting us listen to the album. We appreciate that. And we appreciate Musebox doing everything they do for us. And we've been...
Ooh,
yes, go ahead.
I'm going to do other professional stuff that it's really hard to figure out because of this organizing thing. Their album, The Shape, the Color, the Feel.
You're right.
Okay, here it is. It's their album, The Shape, the Color, the Feel. You can buy it on a 180 gram vinyl, a CD, or digitally.
Okay.
So you have options. Maybe that's another reason vinyl. It's like hipstery.
I guess that's why you say it was hipstery.
Because you can get it on vinyl,
got
too.
Got the vinyl, by golly.
I've noticed a lot of bands and music is doing that nowadays. Where
I think the first, I don't know if they started it, but the first one I saw before all the others was The Vampire Weekend.
Yep, that's the first one I saw for modern.
Yeah, obviously.
That's the first one I saw, too. But we're having fun here. Hopefully everybody's having fun out there. Check out Kate Tucker if you're interested. We are going to be leaving out with Best Friend's Love. We will see everybody on the flip side. Have a good one.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.